You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now today, I'm really excited to share with you insights, tips, and teachings from the co-owner and founder of Foil Me, Emily. From being a primary school teacher to working with cheese and then winding up in the hair and beauty industry, you don't want to miss this episode. Emily shares how to power through social media and adapt your brand through client feedback and recommendations. Listen in as we discuss everything from creating a successful business to the importance of aligning with your influencers. Let's jump straight into my chat with Emily. Emily, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So look, why don't we start with you telling us where you are in the world. What do you do and how did you get to be doing what you're doing now?
Oh my goodness, have you got hours and hours? No, just joking. So I'm the co-owner and founder of Foil Me, also another company called Which Is Suchless, along with my husband. And I've just started a social media and business consultancy agency called Cultivate Me.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing now. I'm also a mother of two very feisty boys who are 6 and 9. And my history is I actually used to be a high school teacher. I used to teach English from year 8 to year 12 and also taught Italian in year 8.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, well, I certainly was not expecting to be, the co-owner of, you know, basically the biggest foil company in Australia in when I started teaching. So I guess you just got to follow your path, don't you?
For sure. So tell us a little bit about that journey. How does a English teacher, English Italian teacher, get yourself involved in the hair and beauty industry?
Yeah, so I was actually on child rearing leave and I was sitting in the hairdresser's getting my hair done with my little one, my second born. And my husband was at a meeting, so he couldn't, you know, take our little one with him. So he came to the hairdresser's to give me a break and pick up my little one, and he saw foil in my hair. And when I got home, he was like, "What was that in your hair?" And I'm like, "Oil." And I could see my husband's cogs turning. And I'm like, what are you getting at? Because we did have a business at that time. We had a Muchos Nachos, which is a cheese business where my husband imports cheese from Texas. So that's a whole another story.
I was not expecting then, you to say
yeah,
I'm crazy. Switzerland, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a liquid, you know, some cheese that you have on your nachos, and yeah, people go nuts for it. But so my husband was running that business while I was looking after the kids and, you know, being a stay-at-home mum, and not teaching at that time. I was on leave. So anyway, he said to me, "Well, what do they do with the foil?" And I'm like, I guess they have big rolls and they rip it up like Amy. And Amy's my best friend who is a hairdresser. And I used to see Amy sitting there, you know, cutting up foil, rolling foil when she was doing my hair. And so he said to me, "Oh, well, call Amy and see what Amy thinks about this idea of having pre-cut foil." Because Illy, my husband, he was actually doing pre-cut foil already for people through his business called Launches Nutshots for burritos and things like that. Yeah, and I said, "Oh, great idea." So I gave her a call. She said, "Oh, my God, that's a brilliant idea." So then we got in contact with hairdressers around our area and actually went in and spoke to them and said, what are you missing in a foil? What would you like? What do you like currently about your foil? You know, we know that there are some pre-cuts out there already. What is it that you don't like about them, or why don't you use them, kind of thing? So we just gathered a lot of information, and then we went to our manufacturer and we said, can you make this? And they said, yes, we can. And then we had some samples made up, and we had to order quite a bit to get started. So then I went out and visited salons with our samples. When we very first started, we only had like a 12 centimetre length width roll, so 12 centimetres by 100 metres, and that was like, you know, just like a normal sort of foil. It wasn't really anything special about it, but the most special one was our pop-ups, because we said, you know, we wanted foil that wasn't, you know, coming out of like a box. We wanted it sort of like a tissue, so it's easy for people to be able to apply. And then, yeah, the embossing as well for grip, because, you know, a lot of people saying that their foils slip and that slows them down. So I went around to around about 8 salons twice a week, so about 16 salons, just, you know, around Adelaide, the Wild Adelaide. And I said, here, try these. I'll come back in a couple of weeks and see what you think about them. So I, you know, did that and went back to the salons in a couple of weeks, and the response that we got was absolutely fantastic. And I started learning from what they were telling me about what they liked about them and what they didn't like about them. And so then we would, you know, adapt them and change them a little bit for the next batch and the next order, and ordered more and started, you know, ordering more products that people were asking for. And yeah, just basically listened to our clients and created products that they wanted. But it wasn't until I started on Instagram, which was in 2014 in September, that things really picked up for us. So, yeah, that's the story.
I love it because, you know, it's a little bit of perseverance, a lot of listening, a lot of reiterating. I love a good story of how a business starts, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So you never went back to teaching?
Well, so because I was on child rearing leave, there's a thing here in Australia, I don't know if it's the same there in New Zealand, but they allow you, once you have permanency, they allow you to go on child rearing leave until your youngest goes to school. Oh. So, yeah, super, super lucky to have a government, you know, that does that. For us. So I didn't go back to work I didn't have to go back to work until Orlando, my youngest, was 5. And then that was just last year. So the beginning of last year in February, he turned 5. So he was beginning school. So I had to make the decision about whether I was going to go back to teaching. Absolutely love teaching, and I, you know, the kids loved me as well. But the thing about me as a teacher was I put my everything into it. So, you know, I was their mum if they didn't have one, or their dad if they didn't have one. You know, sometimes I would try and put on a bit of a masculine voice. I knew how to do manly things. I don't know. I was their doctor. I was their friend. I but also their teacher and their guide. I put a lot into. Well, you know, I've always been like that. Whatever I do, I put my all into it. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to be a fantastic teacher as well as being able to run my company, Foil Me. So I made the decision to do Foil Me as that's my profession now. So, yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Yeah.
And I don't regret it at all. You know, I really do believe that everything that you do in the past leads to where you're supposed to be. So that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm really passionate about it, really love it, and I'm still teaching. in a way. So, yeah.
Well, you spend a lot of time with salons, talking to salon owners, stylists, and you've picked up a few tips on the way. So why don't you teach us now? tell us some of the things that you see really important. What are some tips that you want to give to us?
Well, you know, the main thing that's really important in your industry is being real, you know, having that integrity and showing that through your social media. I think these days, because I'm not a hairdresser, I can sort of see it from the outside. Like when I taught Italian, I could see it from the outside because I wasn't a native speaker of Italian. So I can see it from a customer point of view as well as now being in the industry. And, you know, people do think or used to think that the hair industry was just about being beautiful and it was fake and that there was no real substance to it. But, you know, since being in the industry, the hairdressers, I mean, I knew this anyway because my best friend was a hairdresser, but hairdressers give their all to make other people feel beautiful. It's not about being beautiful, it's about making other people feel beautiful. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, I've found that you guys work so hard to help other people feel better about themselves. You know, you're like a doctor in that you're helping people. You know, I don't want to say that some people, you know, might be on the verge of suicide or anything like that, but, you know, the conversations that you have are pretty full on with your clients, and, you know, you do save them. So I don't know if that's a tip, but that's certainly something that I have grown to appreciate, and just how hard you guys work as well is just incredible. Yeah.
So something that I can see that you learnt in your foil-me business was giving away samples and examples of your product before you went to sell it. Is that something that you recommend inside of a salon business?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're very first beginning any business, I think it's important to show what you can do, like with your service, or to show what you have. You know, people these days are very skeptical of new products that come onto the market, so it's really important to actually show them. And, you know, by giving it to them complimentary, it's not you saying I'm desperate, it's you saying I believe in my product, I believe in it so much that I'm going to give it to you complimentary because I know you're going to come back and you're going to buy it. So
And you're talking about retail size products, yeah? Retail, mini size retail products or sachets or?
Yeah. And even services, you know, like if you're just starting up, you know, you can offer a free service to customers when you know, but once you're established, you no longer need to do that, obviously, because word of mouth will speak for itself. But yeah, I feel that when you're very first beginning, it's good to show people what you can do and what you can provide complimentary, yeah.
It also gives actually a lot of social content to be shared, right? Because if you're doing a complimentary service, this is a story that you can then tell about the journey of that person. You know, it's a trade-off, or it could be a trade-off if you're giving away complimentary services to then trade off the social story to go along with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can ask the customers, you know, like, I'd love to give this to you complimentary, but would you mind letting me know how you feel about it or what you like about it or what you've really enjoyed about my service? And would you mind if I reposted that on my Instagram or on my Facebook? Or even if, you know, if you do have a website and you're selling products, a really great thing about our website, we do it through Shopify. And Shopify actually allows you to put in your own reviews as long as you have their email address and their you know, their name. So what we do is after we get feedback, we say, oh, thank you so much for that. Do you mind if we repost this on our social media and or our website? We just need your email and we'll tag you, of course. And, you know, like 99% of the people are just really, really happy to do that. Like they just, they don't, rarely do we have someone saying, no, I don't want you doing that. It's fantastic because we're not making up the review. Like we put it exactly as it's, as it comes across. So if there's spelling mistakes, we just do that, you know, or if it's abbreviated, we just put that up because that's exactly how the customer has written it or the customer has said it. Although, it's mainly written written feedback we get. They allow us to do that for them because it saves them time and they want to do that. They want to give feedback. They're just so busy doing it, so doing their job that, it just makes it easier for them and fantastic for us.
So I was just thinking about the giving away complimentary services. Something we actually did that a lot, even as established business, not so much the whole service, the whole kit and caboodle, but promotional periods where we would offer either crazy prices or add-ons to increase our add-on services. Because it's one thing to have people come in for, you know, a cut and a colour, but one of the things that we measured or aimed to do was to sell people more than just one thing. So what are the cherries on top, right? You know, a few extra foils, treatments, some eyelash tint, it's all of those other extra bits that we can add on. And so we would give them away for a period of time for, you know, what I would call now a cherry on top. When you have your cut and colour, you can have 10 foils for free or something or other. It was an internal promotion because, you know, you can have more clients, you can have them come more often, but or you can have them spend more. And so we would aim to give these services for them to try for free. Yes. And then we took the mindset that if you've had it once, you can have it again and you'll have it forever. That was our internal mindset.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Once you've had it once, right, there's sell it to them again.
So, yeah, absolutely. If they enjoy their service and they get exactly what it is that, that they're aiming to get, then why wouldn't they come back, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you see on – sorry to interrupt you.
You're right, I'll let you finish.
you see it on Tabitha Coffee. I've been watching her salon takeovers. Have you ever seen
– Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so, and, you know, that's really interesting. She will go out onto the street and get, you know, clients to come and get their haircut done right there on the street with the salon that she's trying to help.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she gathers all these new clients, and then these clients talk to their family and friends, and that's how it starts. So
it's a mindset though, right? Because, you know, I can hear the voices already saying, oh, but we can't have a salon full of empty clients. But if you've got staff that can't have a salon full of free clients, but if you've got staff sitting in the back room playing on their phone, twiddling their thumbs, and you're paying them, then you might as well be doing free clients. With the chance you know, if you go and have a look, hopefully your software tells you what your retention rate is. If you know that, you know, 30% of all new clients come back, well, then you're already empty today. You might as well be filling up your chair for 6 weeks from now, even if it's 30% of.
Well, that's right.
No?
Yeah. I mean, well, exactly. And the only reason you really would be giving these complimentary services is because you don't have enough clients coming through the door. So, it just makes sense.
All right. Tell us a little bit about social. It's something that you teach and something that you're obviously passionate about. What do you think is the number one thing that you would love to see more salon owners doing? What's your advice?
I would actually like to see more salon owners actually running their own social media and including social media as a part of their plan, you know, their business plan. I know, you know, people are changing and they're starting to see that social media is like a really pivotal part of their business, and props to those who have already seen that. But there's still a lot out there that think that social media should be something that they just tack on the end if they've got time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that whole saying, you know, you've got to make time. These days, people do not go to the yellow pages, or they don't drive past if someone's talking about your salon. Like a friend's going, oh, you should go to this salon because I just got my hair done there and it's amazing. And they're like, oh, where is it? And then they tell them the address. No, that's not how it happens. And then you drive past to go see, or you pop in to go and see what they're like. No, you know, we're all time poor. What's the first thing that they do? They go to your Instagram or to your Facebook. I mean, Instagram is huge now for business. Facebook's more sort of family and friends orientated now, I'm finding. Are you finding that, Larissa, that Facebook's sort of not as business orientated anymore, and Instagram definitely is?
I think for both platforms that your experience will be unique to you. And, you know, you will get the feed depending on what it is that you engage with.
Yeah.
My Facebook is nothing but business. Because that's what I search for, that's what I look at, that's what I engage with, and that's what I read.
Yeah.
And sorry, friends and family, but you've fallen off now because not because I'm not interested, but that's how the algorithm works, right? So it is what you make it, actually.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, whatever you put your heart and soul into, that's where you're going to get your results from. So beginning, you know, that's where we've always put more effort into is Instagram. But I feel like as well with the tools now that they've introduced to Instagram, they're making it more business orientated. You know,
oh, no, 100% agree. Yep, 100% agree.
Yeah. And that's another tip as well. You must use Insta stories. Like,
agree.
Huge. You get triple the amount of engagement and views from Insta stories than you do.
And in fact, in just a recent report, we were just talking about school holidays. We've just been away with family for school holidays, and so I was listening to a podcast, and the most recent report is that more people are spending time on Insta stories than they are in the Insta feed.
Yeah.
And that's where they're hanging out. That's the place to be now.
Yeah, and you can see that. Like, why else would they introduce music now to Insta Story?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's really fun. It's actually fun.
Yeah, the gifts. When they introduced the gifts and then they took it off for a week, we were dying. We were like, what? You can't do that to us. You can't do that to us. But,
My husband said to me over the weekend, because I did a whole highlights reel of our whole holiday. He said, "You're just a big kid, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm actually enjoying stickers and flashing lights, and it's cool."
Yeah, and you can be so creative on Insta stories as well. That's what I love about it as well. Like, you don't have to just use the tools as they are. There's apps within the apps. You know, like the erase button can be, you know, you can use that eraser button so cleverly. I absolutely love Insta stories. And then it gives you is just incredible as well.
Yes. I love that you brought that up as a tip. And I think it's actually been an add-on that's really freeing because, you know, I'm somebody that really thinks about the 369 grid, you know, the aesthetic of the whole look of the page. And sometimes that's quite restricting because you can't just do something out of the pattern for those people that are pattern OCD like myself. But Insta stories allows, you know, and the highlights reels allows you just to get back to being free and fun and behind the scenes type of stuff and without having to ruin the aesthetic of the whole page. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually experimenting with my personal account, not with my Foil Me Foils account, but with my personal account, I'm experimenting at the moment doing three photos that are the same but showing different parts of that photo in a line. So, but I've sort of come to a bit of a standstill now because I want to do Testimonial Tuesday. And Testimonial Tuesday is where I have a quote from someone saying, you know, what they love about either our foils or love about my social media workshop. And I'm kind of a bit stuck because it just it just looks too messy. So I'm like, oh, that was a good idea. But, yeah, it's fun to just experiment. And I like showing that to people in my classes as well, in my workshops. I like showing them that it's okay to experiment. It's okay to show your followers or potential followers that you are not just sticking to one thing. You're trying all different things because you're learning for them. I mean, that's basically what I do is, you know, the 4 years I've been on Instagram, everything I've learned along the way, I'm teaching them. So they don't have to learn for four years.
That's right, taking the shortcut.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about influencers. We were talking before we started about the influencers. I'm really keen on your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so for us, influence became very organic. For us, it was more we had people who absolutely loved our foils and would just start telling everyone about them and start tagging us and hashtagging us. So the person I'm talking about here is Sheree Noble from Dixie Colour, who is now our official ambassador for Foil Me. But for 3 years there, you know, Sheree was just off her own back, just talking about our foils and reposting, allowing us to repost her work as well. I would always ask, you know, you've got to have that etiquette. When you're very first beginning, you can't just expect to repost someone else's work, even if they have tagged you in it. I still think, you know, you should send them a DM and ask them, is it okay if I repost this? And then once you are established, then people want you to repost their work and show how fabulous their work is. But in regards to influencers, if you don't have the time, like I did for 3 years, watching and seeing what Sheree was doing for our business, and just getting to know her as well, she's an amazing down to earth person who really aligns with our core values so brilliantly. I guess my tip for influencers is, one, make sure they're actually someone who's passionate about your product or your business first, and that shows in the fact that they're doing things complementary. They're not asking you, oh, well, if I do this, can I have some product for free? Or if I do that, then I expect this in return. You know, they're actually just doing it because they are so much in love with your product and your business that they're not even thinking like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Because then it's actually natural and organic.
Yeah. So I guess my second tip is to not rush into it. Like you'll find the right person. And I guess another thing is to ask them what their core values are. You know, what is it that you really value? Not just in business, but in life as well. So, align with someone that reflects your core values, because if you align with someone who doesn't, I can't tell you how detrimental that would be for your business. And people can see through it. You know, your followers, your potential clients can see through if someone is talking about you and your foils or your products. They can see, oh, you're being paid to do that, or you're getting free product for that. So,
Okay. Good advice. Good good advice. And I guess, would you say that the place to start would be your own client base, like who's already a customer, rather than convincing them to become a customer first?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. We get people maybe three or four, you know, every couple of weeks asking us, do you have an ambassador here? You know, we had one from Canada just last week asking, would you like me to be an ambassador for you? And I'm like, well, I don't know you. You don't even sell oils. Why are you asking me this? You know? Yeah, it's got to be someone who is using your product or has been going to your salon for, you know, for a while at least, and that you've established a relationship with, and that you just know, you know. Hairdressers are very good with gut feelings because you're around people all the time and you're very good at reading people as well. So you know if someone is just out for a free haircut and free hair colour, or if they actually really love you and your business and your what you're about. Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you do the work first and see their own social following and their visibility and engagement first before you ask.
Yeah, for sure. Do a little bit of stalking first.
All right, I think there's been lots of valuable tips in there. So, you know, being a business owner, being a working mum, what is a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you sane, keeps you going as a business owner that you can share with us?
Well, our core values, we have them actually printed out and stuck up on the wall in our office, so that if we ever come across something that we're not sure about or we're questioning, and I say we because we collaborate in, we have, you know, the three, four of us in one office together. So it can get a little bit noisy, but we like that because we really work together. And so collaboration is the pinnacle to our success, I feel. But yeah, our core values, we have them stuck up on our wall, and, you know, they're appreciation. Always show that you're grateful to our four million others. Integrity in everything we do, honesty and ethics are at the forefront of our minds and hearts. Then we also have innovation. So we create and adapt new products. High standards. We provide excellence in everything we do and provide premium quality in the products that we provide. And also optimism. Try to see the best in every situation.
Yeah.
But my quote is, don't lose the kind during your grind.
Oh, I love that. That's super cool.
Yeah. Because being a working mum, you do get stressed and you do have times where you have to work while the kids are at home, and it can be stressful, and you do end up, you know, flying off the handle at them. But I think if you do have that that don't lose the kind, you know, in the back of your mind, then, yeah, it works.
Yeah, I love that one. All right, what about a resource or something that has been super valuable to you that you can suggest that we watch, listen, read? What do you suggest?
Well, obviously, Salon Owners Collective. I mean,
well, of course.
There's a wealth of resources there. I was listening to three or four podcasts over the last couple of months as well, and, you know, just really, really interesting and very inspiring people that you have on your podcast. So thank you for sharing that with all of us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but Tony Robbins is actually quite an inspiration to me as well. He came from a really disadvantaged, abusive background, and to, you know, to where he is now, he's quite an inspiration to me. In regards to salon owners, well, obviously Sherry Noble from Dixie Carr is, like, you know, an inspiration to me as well. I look up to her, kind of like a big sister. But she's wise as well. She has insights that sometimes I don't think about when I'm speaking with her. She helps me stay grounded as well.
Nice.
But she's just wonderful in the fact that she shares everything that she does as well with everyone. She's not greedy. She's happy to share her success with other salon owners or with aspiring hairdressers. She loves to help people.
Well, we'll be sure to add her link to the show notes as well. So a big shout out to you, Cherie. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your words of wisdom and joining me. I really appreciate it. Tell us your dub and your handles. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find us at Foil Me Foils. So that's our Instagram. Our Facebook is foilme/Australia. And my personal for Cultivate Me is Emily_Chardiello_FoilMeFoils. And then our website is www.foilme.com.au.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much, Emily. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Larissa. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, I just wanted to quickly say that did you know that this week, the week that I'm recording this, although this will come out a little bit late, the Salon Owners Collective turns two whole years we've been in business, and I actually can't really believe it. It's flown by, it's grown by, and really taking off like a jet engine, and I'm just really not sure quite how that happened. I have spent some time with some amazing, amazing people, and plenty of those people right here on this podcast, and I just can't believe how lucky I am. And so I really wanted to thank you all for being part of this journey with me along the podcast, and many of you who have joined the Salon Owners Collective in its many moving parts, whether that be the hub or the one-to-one coaching or Salon Bot. And so I really appreciate your earbuds and being part of my journey over these last two amazing years. So thank you so much for joining me. I really look forward to seeing you again on the podcast next week. Ciao.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.